In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. On this third Sunday of Advent, we lean into joy. I know the gospel lesson maybe doesn't feel as joyful as we might think, but recalling back to the Canticle 9, the Song of Isaiah, it speaks of the confidence of God's presence with us. Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in God and not be afraid. And it ends like this: cry aloud, inhabitants of Zion, ring out your joy. For the great one in the midst of you is the Holy One of Israel. And then in our first reading from Zephaniah, one who's called a minor prophet, kind of like second string, no less important, as anyone who roots for Crimson Tide would know, as sometimes the backup quarterback has to come in and finish the work at hand. And so Zephaniah comes in, and in the first 2.5 chapters of that 3-chapter book, it's all doom and gloom and dire things happening. And yet, the prophetic words of Zephaniah end with a song of joy. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. As I thought about this affirmation that we will fear disasters no more, I couldn't help but reflect on this time and place where we are right now in this city and in this region that has been affected literally by a disaster not so long ago. Last Sunday, some who were able gathered at St. James to hear Presiding Bishop Michael Curry, who wanted to provide a space for people to share their stories about the storm and for him to share a pastoral response. And Lisa Ritchie, the lay dean of our deanery, shared her own personal story of loss. But throughout her telling, she talked of how she saw God and God's presence at every step along the way. And part of the story that I told was of an experience I had just last Saturday when I was sitting having lunch at a restaurant, and there was a Hispanic boy sitting at the end of the bar, and he had on headphones and he was looking at his iPhone, and every once in a while would burst into laughter. He was watching something that had captivated him and was bringing him great joy, and he just couldn't contain it, and it just erupted out of him. And it was amazing. It was so contagious when it was happening. And I asked my server who he belonged to, and the server explained that he was the son of one of the women who makes the tortillas at the restaurant. And then he told me, the server told me, that this boy and his family had returned after the storm and their house had been completely flooded, as had their car, and that for now they're living in a trailer, and that there would be times that this boy would be sitting at the end of the bar in the days that followed the storm and just burst into tears because of the loss he was feeling. And I felt how lucky I was that I was seeing him in this time of joy. That he, in the midst of this aftermath, had found a way to lean into the joy just a few weeks after being impacted by this. And then after we told our stories, Bishop Curry invited others to tell their stories, and a few different people came forward and shared their experience. And then one woman got up, and she didn't share her story. She shared where she was, which was she needed a pastoral message. She wanted to be comforted in some way. And so she asked Bishop Curry if he would share a word of comfort in response to these stories that were being told. And so he did. And he began by pointing to the story of creation in Genesis, the story not of the 7 days, but of God creating Adam, the human one, he explained. And then that he put Adam in the garden and he asked Adam to tend and cultivate the garden, but then realized that the human one needed a companion. And so God created the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, and yet somehow that companionship wasn't enough for the human one. And so God created another human one. And what Bishop Curry was imparting is the importance of relationship is at the core of who and how we are as human people. And then, in pure Michael Curry style, he says, you know, there's a song about that. I don't know all the words. Maybe some of you know all the words. It goes something like, lean on me. And you could tell he had done this a million times, right? I mean, he's like, I don't know all the words, but surely somebody here knows them. And sure enough, he had the whole room singing, lean on me. A woman came forward asking for comfort. Michael Curry, in his simple, generous way, provided some of that and then created space for joy to happen. I think this goes back to that, blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. If we share with people our need, then we have the capacity then to be comforted. And so here it created this space of comfort. And so now, leaning into the gospel message from Luke, we have what feels like a sort of a jarring story. It starts with, you brood of vipers who have come to be baptized. Claire, you don't look like a brood of vipers to me. And yet that isn't the important part. The important part was the part where John invites them to live a life worthy of God, to turn toward God. And when we turn toward God, there's a natural response that happens. When we're in right relationship with God, our response is instinctive. And yet, here these people came and they said, well, what are we supposed to do? So here we're here to be baptized. What are we supposed to do after that? And he tells all those present that whoever has two coats must give one to someone who has none. He didn't say give away your last coat. He said if you have more than one, and how many of us have more than one coat in our closet? How many have more than we can even manage? Then give the extra coat to somebody who doesn't have one. I'm guessing in this time and place, there are lots of people who lost a lot of things and they probably don't have a coat this winter. And to the tax collectors, he said, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. And to the soldiers, the law enforcers, he said, don't extort money and be satisfied with your wages. So if we're not sure what this gospel lesson's about, it's about being kind. It's about being fair, and it's about being satisfied. And And after the Lean On Me moment last Sunday, Vic Fredrickson, a retired rector at St. Mark's, stood up and said, "Hey, we have an opportunity here." One of the women who had gotten up was talking about the fact that we have a lot of children in this community that are homeless or near homeless, and they need air mattresses and they need sleeping bags. And so Vic got up and said, "Hey, we have an opportunity to respond in our joy. I bet if they pass something around, a few people might put a couple of dollars in there." And in a matter of about 10 minutes, 15 max, over $2,800 was raised to go toward mattresses and sleeping bags for children in our community. And the presiding bishop is matching that. So $5,600 toward things that are vitally needed. So the response that happens in our state of comfort and joy, relying on God's presence, is immediate and is automatic. And we're doing it here. We've been doing it. On December 2nd, Christina was out at the Christmas tree, and she had never seen all the ornaments disappear so quickly. And if you haven't noticed the abundance of gifts that have been returned today, you're experiencing what that sort of response looks like. You know, Don Arabian created this two-share furniture where a bunch of guys are going out and identifying people that have furniture that they're ready to donate, and they're matching it up with people that need that furniture after the storm. And Alfreda and others sat at a table at UNCW after the storm to allow students who might want to come and just share their story, a listening ear. And there were a group of people who went and volunteered at the Harrelson Center. There were young people who went and bought things for Nourish NC. There were the super servants who went and served Thanksgiving lunch at St. Mark's. If I went on and on about everything that people have done, we could be here a long time. And then we have just the regular ministries that we always do, the First Friday dinners. But Bargain Box has started assisting people that are recovering from the hurricane. If you don't know about it, it's in the bulletin. A lot of this stuff happens without banging drums or loud cymbals, but they're our way of responding. They're our way of living into our baptismal covenant, into what John is inviting those who came to him to do, to open their hearts, trusting in God's presence and responding in kindness, fairness, and satisfaction with what we have. O come, Emmanuel. God with us, serving one another now and always. Amen.